Broadcasting, the Webcomic Beacon.
Welcome to episode 20 of the Webcomic Beacon. This is Fess, and with me, Tanya's not with me today, but Aaron, our new co-host, is with us. Aaron, hello.
Hello.
And this week we are talking about the open source, free to use comic character, Jenny Everywhere. And with us we have four people who have worked on Jenny Everywhere in the past. In the order that I added them to our little dais here, Steve, welcome.
Hey, yeah, that's fine. I'm Steve. I helped create Jenny Everywhere.
Do you have a current?
That's about it.
Do you have a current website that you have, or?
No, that's okay.
All right. Next up, we have Benj Christensen.
Hello, I'm Benj Christensen. I did a couple of comics, one called Infinity Apartment that I discontinued after a while because it wasn't all that good. And now I'm doing one called The Jenny Everywhere Chronicles, which can be found at www.bjccreations.com/Jenny.
All right. And Scott Simmons is with us.
Hi, I'm Scott D.M. Simmons. I worked on the Soulless Mate strip with Alex Hernandez, who wrote a ton of Jenny stories. And currently I'm working on, trying to put together, by the time this airs, my first Little Jenny Everywhere strip. And I also did that photo comic that started off one page, and it's called Superiority Complex. And we got one page up there so far. But I'm hoping to get that finished up this year.
Well, that's cool. Looking forward to that. And last but not least, of course, if I can go with the cliche, Nelson Evergreen, all the way from the United Kingdom, is here with us.
Hi, yeah, Nelson here. I did illustrated a couple of Jenny stories way back in the at the dawn of the whole thing with Joe Macari on writing duties. And done a few little pin-ups, poster-type things, as well as currently very, very slowly birthing a little Jenny story of my own, which I've been developing for about 3 years now, and which may or may not ever see the light of day.
Alrighty. And we'll get everyone's links in the show notes in case anyone missed those. Let's open up with who is Jenny Everywhere and what brought her to be? Who would like to start? Steve, I'm going to point the finger at you.
Okay. Oh, boy. Well, on Barbalith, we were bouncing around the idea of a public domain, like nude public domain comic book character, because obviously there are older characters who have fallen to the public domain. And I looked around to see what was out there, and most everybody who claimed to have a public domain character or, you know, Creative Commons or whatever you want to call it, they always had some sort of condition attached. Like, you had to contact them, you had to pay them money, you had to put their copyright on it. And so, yeah, I had a character just sitting around and posted it, and we all thought it was all right, I guess, and moved on from there.
Who are some of the original people that actually started getting the artwork and the art concepts going?
Oh, well, Nelson was one of the first people to... I think he was the first person to do a full story. Honestly, it's been a long time. You'd probably know just as well as anybody, considering you've been compiling the stories. So,
Recently, I had actually gone back into the old threads, and I found... Steve, that you had done something, like it's titled Cars or something. It's like 5 pages. It looked like a layout preliminary idea. And I had recently added that. I wanted to ask you, what was that?
Oh, that was just me messing around. I think that was, I think I'd gone together with some friends and we were doing a 24-hour comics. And, you know, about 5 hours in, we decided to shut it down. So that's why there's only 5 pages. That actually didn't come like before everything else. That was after Nelson's work and a few other stories had already come out. Yeah.
All right, I'll have to rearrange that on the site then. Bill Nesslin, since you were one of the first, and quite possibly the first, to do a full comic, could you tell us about your experience with working with Jenny Everywhere, especially from the beginning?
I was kind of hanging around on Barbelith at the time, sort of actively seeking out collaborations. Joe, who I worked with, was someone who I'd particularly liked his writing style, just in the sort of other threads on the forum. So we'd been chatting about doing something together, and then Jenny was kind of the catalyst for that actually happening. I think I really liked the idea of the open source thing was really appealing, about doing a version of a character which would be a drop in the ocean of a whole load of other versions. Whereas Joe wanted to do some sassy, fast talking youth kind of thing.
Mm.
Jenny gave him the opportunity to produce something like that without having to worry too much about the open source element. It was really good fun. A long time ago now, but I'm still really, really pleased with the stuff that we did. And it was nice being, first through the post, so to speak.
You've all worked very hard and produced many things. It helped to create a firm foundation for many, many stories to come. Scott, I'm looking for the link.
Yep.
Here. You worked on Soulless Mate, which was a strip that came, actually, from what I gathered, several stories along. Do you know when in the history about this was? Was it still fairly fresh in the creation process of Jenny Everywhere, or is this a little bit later?
Well, I'm not sure exactly where it fell. I know that Alex approached me back in 2003, and I think we got it up in early 2004.
Mm-hmm.
He had, I can't remember if he had posted it somewhere, as far as like needing an artist for a story, but I believe that's what happened, maybe on digital webbing or something. And I contacted him, and he sent me like a first story, and I actually I decided not to do that story and asked for another one if he had another one. Of course, he's a machine. He has like seven stories up there on Jenny Everywhere, and
mm-hmm.
he sent me another one, and I really loved it. It gave me a lot of fun things to draw, including Shiva, the god Shiva, cages, demons, monsters, people on torture racks, and a whole bunch of fun stuff to draw. And it was a lot of fun to work with him. And I did the entire thing, penciling, inking, lettering. It was crazy. 10 pages.
Right.
I think it took me like 2 or 3 weeks.
I believe Soulless Mate is one of the first Jenny Everywhere comics that directly links to another story. I believe My Bloody Valentine.
That's right.
Has a boyfriend character.
Yep.
And that
carried over David from that trip.
Yeah. And so that's always kind of interesting to see direct correlations. Is like, but it doesn't heavily rely upon it too much, where there's going to be too many people running around saying it's not original. But I personally love that because I'm like a big geek about crossovers and such. So, okay, now we talked about how Jenny Everywhere was basically created. We talked a little about everyone's first experiences, the comics that they've produced. Have we talked about essentially who Jenny Everywhere is and what everything that she does, like her specifically?
Did we or should we?
I don't think we did, but if we should, like describe her, the person.
Okay, sure. Actually, I'll give you a bit of an origin if you want. I had some friends, and they were developing a comic script. They wanted me to draw it, and one of the characters was a teleporter. They were really into, Claremont, and style, and they were basically creating a super team that was very much like that X-Men team, and so they wanted a Nightcrawler character, and so they had this female character who was a teleporter, and the rest of the team, though, was a lot more powerful than that. So I suggested that instead of just being a teleporter, everybody assumed she was just a teleporter, but she actually had, like, pan-dimensional powers way beyond what anybody else would imagine, especially considering she just looked like your standard adventurer.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually the project fell apart. But I kept those concepts. I worked on them a bit more, refined them. And so the Jenny Everywhere that came about because of that. And essentially she looks just like an ordinary, you know, young woman. And she can basically travel through dimensions. She also exists in every dimension. That's supposed to be the main thing.
Mm-hmm.
The reason she was chosen to be part of this project was because she exists in every dimension at the same time. Anybody can do a story with her, and it's not going to affect everybody else's stories.
Mm-hmm.
Unless they choose to. I think that's one of the things that gets confused, is that people just have her traveling through dimensions, which is fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But her main appeal is that you can have her be an adventure and not show any powers whatsoever, and just continuity-wise, it's not going to upset anybody else's take on it. So,
and that is one of the more genius things about Jenny Everywhere.
That's a pretty strong word.
Yeah. Well, I personally think so. On the website, I should mention this real quick. At theshifterarchive.com, I've compiled a collection of all known Jenny Everywhere works, including stories and arcs within webcomic stories. One of them was from the webcomic The Scandal Sheet, which I believe had a really good line, a good run of Jenny Everywhere in there, in which they demonstrated one of her powers as being able to communicate or know the memories of other versions of herself and even share them with other people. It was a good demonstration of how Jenny Everywhere's powers weren't specifically listed, but they weren't specifically restricted either. Allows for open interpretation for different things to happen to modify for each everyone's story. And one of the more interesting ones that I have seen that really deviated from what everyone else was doing is what Benj was doing with Infinity Apartment. I realize I haven't gotten to you yet about your Infinity Apartment one, your first one that you did with Jenny Everywhere. Could you explain a little bit about that?
I wasn't holding that against you. Infinity Apartment, basically I had originated it as basically like Jenny has, there's an apartment that's kind of an extension of her, so therefore it as well is in every dimension. And she has roommates that live there that are all kind of, one was a magic user, one was an alien, one was a superhero. I tried to kind of bring in a whole slew of different genres into the apartment. And this was, I've been reading stuff from Nelson and Alex and all of these guys for a couple of years, a number of years at this point, since 2004, and I watched this in 2006 or 2007, I forget exactly when it was. So I've been thinking about this character, and it had been in my head for all of these years, and unfortunately I kind of tried to do too much too quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And I threw too many characters in. I changed Jenny's appearance every other panel or every other strip or something like that. And it was just too much too quickly is kind of my best example or best statement I can make about the strip, in all honesty. I wanted to kind of do some more experimental stuff with her. And, unfortunately, sometimes experimental doesn't always work.
But it doesn't hurt to try.
No, I'm not going to say it didn't hurt, because it definitely led into a lot of what I'm trying to do now in Chronicles, but it was what it was, I guess, is kind of my statement to it.
Well, already. Just we got about 5 minutes before we take our first break, and I wanted to talk about a little bit of critical acclaim that Jenny Everywhere had received in the early days, I think in particularly 2003. the September issue of the Canadian publication Exclaim. Did a little article on Jenny Everywhere. Does anybody have any knowledge about how this article came to be?
I guess that would be me.
Okay.
They, yeah, I was contacted by the artist of He Is Just a Rat, I believe. You have, I think you have a link up.
Yep.
Yeah, Tony Walsh contacted me for Exclaim and did a little interview with me. At the time, I was living in Ottawa, and my friends back home were really upset that it said that I was an Ottawa native in the article. They said I'd sold out, and I was ostracized temporarily. Yeah, Tony was really great. He actually did quite possibly the longest Jenny Everywhere story, because he had her grow bunny ears, and he put her in He Is Just a Rat for months, I don't even know how long it was, almost half a year of a serial adventure that he had going, and it was really great. He really captured her really terrific, like really great. He's a great artist too, and I'd highly recommend anybody checking that story out. It's one of it's definitely one of my favorites. But yeah, it was really simple. They just, you know, he just contacted me, asked me a few questions. They slapped it up, and that was about it.
Well, sweet. And how did the New York Times article, which misstates, it says that Jenny Everywhere originated in London, I think, and I kind of corrected it on the Wikipedia and said Canada.
Yeah, whatever. I don't know. That's the beauty of the whole thing, is that you know, it shouldn't really be attributed to any, you know, one source or anything anyway. You know, it was the whole idea was to have a core group of people start on it and just kind of let it go and see what happens with it after that. With that, I actually have no idea. I know that they contacted a bunch of people. I'm not sure if they contacted Nelson.
No, they didn't.
Maybe nobody here.
Basically, it just sounds like one of the, like Steve Lohr, who the person who wrote it, maybe just kind of tripped upon it and just decided to write something.
Oh, they did talk to a few people. I don't remember exactly who, but we were told later that they had contacted a few people who had done a few stories. But
well, that's,
yeah,
really cool.
That was a pleasant surprise.
Yeah, and it also helps making the Wikipedia article notable, so they won't take it down. that's a joke I'll probably explain later to some people.
Jenny Nowhere, is that going to happen at some point? Jenny
Nowhere.
I was like, oh, Jenny Nowhere. It sounded pretty cool.
Yeah, we left that one hanging a bit, didn't we? Who knows? Maybe. That was actually, I was explaining the idea of Jenny to a friend of mine a few years ago when I was working on the Damn Fine Hostile Takeover, I think it was. And, he said, oh, Jenny, is that based on Jenny Nowhere? I said, what's Jenny Nowhere? And he said, oh, that's it's a really obscure single by a band called The Clouds, a Glaswegian band from the late 80s. And they did a single called Jenny Nowhere. And that's where the idea came from for this nemesis character, Jenny Everywhere. But, I mean,
so
whether
like
it will happen or not,
guy.
Who knows?
Like
yeah, exactly, like the sort of
nice.
the Luther to her Superman.
And it has,
I really
black eyeliner.
When I saw it, I was like, man, that is such a cool idea. That it says, like, coming soon, and, like, lies!
What, 6 years ago? Yeah, great.
Yeah.
We are such bastards, I'm sorry.
Such a
tease. I guess she should be open source, too. I mean, I think because someone else, I was chatting with another the chap who did Mrs. Zerma, one of the early strips. I was chatting with him on Barbalith, and I mentioned Jenny. No, he actually mentioned this. He came up with this Jenny Nowhere character. I think was Jenny's mentally handicapped. and I said, oh, well, we've got a Jenny Nowhere as well, and we'll race you get these stories finished. But basically, I mean, Jenny Nowhere, you know, she's like open source as well, as far as we're concerned. So, yeah.
Should I direct people that have questions about it right to you, or do you, I mean, if you'd like, I mean, we could put a little synopsis about her if you want to let people just kind of have a run at her.
Maybe. I mean, just I think the concept of Jenny Nowhere is quite interesting. It doesn't even need to be like, you know, our version or based on our version.
Okay.
It's just an interesting concept, isn't it? Everywhere, Jenny Nowhere.
Yeah.
I mean, Jenny Nowhere. Her very name suggests that she should be a completely blank slate.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Well, I'll go ahead and I'll type a little something up and put that in our news and see what fish bite.
Yay.
Anyway, let's see. We're going to take our first break right now. And when we come back, we'll talk a little bit more. The Webcomic Beacon is proud to be an affiliate of The Geek Media. TheGeekMedia.com has a number of geek-related websites, podcasts, and blogs for you to check out. Check out TheGeekMedia.com.
Webcomic Beacon is hosted by Zephyr.net. Free hosting for free thinkers.
All right, and we're back.
So how many people grand total would you say have worked on Jenny Everywhere?
Oh, individual people? Total?
Yeah, like if you lined everybody up, how many people would there be?
I'd have to go through and count.
Well, I mean, more than 50?
Well, right now, independent stories are at 23, and at least half of them, if not more, have at least a writer and an artist. There have been at least six story arcs within webcomics. Individual strips, there's 16, and I think there's a couple of redoers, so at least 12 different people in there. There's been at least 13 cameos, like one-off strips within webcomics, and there are at least 41 pieces of art, and some are by multiple people, so I'm guessing at least 30 people. So, yeah, at least 50.
There's a strip fight and stuff.
Yep.
And I know there were a couple prose versions, too, if you want to count those.
Oh, yes. There's on the wiki, I have three written stories down, and I think I forgot to add Tony Wolf's two scripts that he had to the wiki. I have them on the archive, but I didn't add them to the wiki as far as links.
And I know at least one rave promoter wanted to do a multimedia light show. I don't know if they ever went through with it.
Huh.
That sounds cool.
Yeah, I wish I had pictures, because that would be great. I think they were inspired by Nelson's, what is it? Like, it's kind of a Looney Tunes inspired. I'm not sure if that was his inspiration or not, but that's what I get out of it. That headshot of her with the light coming out from behind it.
Oh yeah, that one. I know the circle. Yeah.
Yeah, that's like that's the iconic Jenny Everywhere image, I think. And yeah, I can see that appealing to you know.
Yeah, see it in lights on the side of a building or something.
Oh, yeah.
That'd be nice.
That'd be crazy.
That'd be crazy.
Anyway, a lot of people have taken interest in Jenny Everywhere, and one thing that we want to approach now as we come back is a little bit about her design, her style. I have recently looked over the Barbalith.com forms of how Jenny was being created, and I was wondering if anybody else remembers way back when in 2002 and 3 when you guys were working on her design. How did you come up with the design?
I can't remember if I think the first version that any of us saw was probably Stevens. Am I right in thinking that?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, that's correct.
I've just been talking so much, I thought I'd let somebody else get in there.
Well, you are the gaffer. I'm pretty sure that I pretty much just... one of the things that really appealed to me was the fact that she was not a typical unfeasibly proportioned comics heroine. The fact that she was someone of a sort of normal everyday build, basically, a normal size.
Right.
And that came across in Stephen's sketch, and I went along with that when I, you know, did my version. And that was a really appealing element of it.
Yeah, we started with my old sketches, and Nelson pretty much refined it. And I know that later on, like a year or two in, there started to become like two camps almost, where you had people who were making her skinnier, and then I know at least Nelson and myself wanted, you know, I drew a couple pictures that I've never posted anywhere where she just got larger and larger, just to counteract that. Yeah, like about at least two or three times as large as what you normally saw her. And actually, she looks really good. Yeah, that was something that appealed to a lot of people, was that she had a healthy physique.
Right. And other than her physics, well, how did you? I want to the actual description of her was, especially on the original site, JennyEverywhere.com, which doesn't currently exist at the moment. You had her described as, I believe, East Asian or Native American.
We were doing all that stuff on the fly. I don't know. Years later, I'd probably rewrite it if I had to, but it's kind of out there now. So, we're just messing around, I think. I don't know what anybody else's intentions were, but yeah, we're just trying to make a character, because at the time, mm-hmm. you know, there wasn't a whole lot of characters that looked, you know, they all looked pretty much the same. They all looked like Michael Turner had drawn them or something. So, we're just trying to make almost the opposite of that, and. Nowadays, you know, there's a lot more diversity in
right.
comics. That's great.
Yeah, there has been a lot of diversity in Jenny Everywhere as far as her nationality as well. A particular good example of one is The Death of Jenny Everywhere, which has Jenny Everywhere basically attending her own funeral. Blech, get the words out. And there was a black Jenny Everywhere. There was a transgendered Jenny Everywhere. And a few other styles, this really, really blonde-haired mole type of girl, as well as a little kitty cat version, which I thought was really, like, okay, no, they're really going every dimension here now, so certainly it's not limited to just that, one nationality. If you got something, go. Even some artwork that displays this diversity as well. Where did the idea of the goggles, scarf, it's essentially kind of almost like an aviation history, come in?
I honestly don't know. I mean, it's just kind of a pulp adventurer outfit. You know, it's got a little bit of Doctor Who too, I think. And,
mm-hmm.
It was just to give her something. I mean, because before that, she just basically had like a jumpsuit or whatever, and it, she needed a few accessories and. Those fit the bill. Eventually we found out that there were numerous comic book characters that had the same look. I think Savant in the Wildstorm universe, and Chance from Leave It to Chance.
Yes, I saw that.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's, you know, it's pretty common.
There's been a few things that have... particularly of the goggles and scarf, I think were the main staples, kind of the aviation coat or the winter coat that Nelson I believe Steve had also started, kind of became an unwritten kind of thing to add on as well. But of course, that's also a lot depending on who's drawing it. A couple of other things that have kind of popped up in a few, I think... two or possibly three different stories, is that the scarf and glasses were her mother's. So there's been some people linking a couple of ideas together.
I've got to say, whenever I've drawn her, I actually really hate the goggles.
Really?
Not because I don't think they look good. I like them in that way, but I hate drawing them because I usually forget them. And I drew a 24-hour comic, and I had to go back. I had like, I don't know, 15 minutes left. I had to go back and draw in goggles where I'd forgotten the goggles, because I just kept forgetting them. They were just like one more detail that, you know, I just... It wouldn't be so bad if I had been taking my time on it, but, you know, I did like 100 panels, and when you have to draw the goggles 100 times in 24 hours, you really wish that she didn't have them. I wish she had lost them. I should have made that part of the story, because I really hated drawing those goggles.
I wish I'd researched the goggles, because, I mean, in the first, at least the first strip that I did, they were basically swimming goggles. They weren't aviation goggles.
You actually did research.
They just look like swimming goggles, and it just looks a bit ridiculous, but there we are. Got away with it.
Yep. Another kind of a staple of her, but it kind of pops up every once in a while. It's been said that her favorite food is toast. I haven't seen whether or not this has been quote unquote official, but it's kind of carried on in a couple of comics. Comments?
Oh, I don't think there's anything that's actually official. I don't know where that came from. I have no idea if that came from me or from somebody else, but
it was in the forum, the Barbalith forums, for sure.
Yeah. I wonder if it was in the fact too on the original site for a while.
Yeah, it was in the Late Shift, which kind of seemed to be a fact comic almost.
Yeah. Oh, that would probably be it then. That's probably the origin for it. Yeah, I like the toast thing.
Yeah, I think it was something which someone said on the, you know, just off the cuff really, as a sort of possible suggestion for, you know, the kind of character trait or a taste that she's got, and it just stuck. So it's nice when that happens. It wasn't one of the rules, so to speak. And then suddenly there's references to bread and toast and toasters cropping up all over the place. It's good, yeah.
Oh, man, I don't have who said it, but the quote was, Jenny has also been frequently seen wearing a long fall winter coat. Personality tended to be a bit rebellious or for the people. Remember she's a superhero. And then later on it says her favorite food is toast. Actually, I thought that might be my paraphrase. Was her original intention to be a superhero?
When she was originally conceived for that project that never came about, that was the intention, that she was going to be a superhero. After that, though, it was, my thinking was more along the lines of like a pulp adventurer, mm-hmm. you know, and just allow, you know, if somebody wanted to have her, you know, as a cowboy riding dinosaurs, you know, in an alternate Wild West, you know, or, you know, anything like that, and that would be acceptable. I was just thinking more two-fisted adventure, you know, mm-hmm. Something like a cross between like Tintin and Buck Rogers, pretty much. But you know, like whatever anybody wants to do with it is fine.
Of course.
You know, like I know that. Right off the bat, I knew that there was a very good possibility that people were going to be doing stories that were, you know, maybe not in the spirit of what everybody originally conceived it to
right.
be, or you know, I know. One of my proudest moments with Jenny was she ended up in a couple of Tijuana Bibles. Like somebody had drawn up some pornographic comics.
Oh,
and I just felt like I had made it, you know. It was like she was up there with like Popeye and Mutt and Jeff and all the old classic comic strips. You know, I mean, they weren't really great, but, you know, it's at least somebody put the effort into it.
Do you have copies of these?
Are you sure you want to be saying that, like, right out loud? That you demand copies of it?
Well, okay, I don't know. I've always kind of wondered whether or not if anybody's going to ever make, like, a more adult-themed something or other with Jenny Hornet, and whether or not I should or should not put it on the archive, but just because of the, you know...
Do you have the Nudist Colony one up?
Yes, I do, by Lazi and Zoot. That is up there, and I have a little notice, mature, right next to it. So,
yeah, I love that one too. That was one of my favorites, just because it was like a Scooby Doo episode, but everybody was naked.
That is so accurate. Oh, let's see here. Let's fast forward to last year, 2000. 7? I have no idea what time it is. Okay, that is about when I started doing the archive, because I noticed that the original site that Steve did, JennyEverywhere.com, had gone down, and I don't remember the reasons, and I don't know if anything's coming back or whatnot. Do you want to not...
Actually, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was asking if you want to not go into it.
I'm not going to go into it, okay. But one of the... Somebody I want to mention, and I'm probably going to mess up the name, was Persephone? I don't know how to pronounce the name, but... Is that it? She was she actually designed the website, and you carried on the color scheme and the basic design, so she was really instrumental in getting the whole thing going. And she should really be acknowledged for that, because okay. I don't think it would have went anywhere without her help.
Well, cool. If we find more about her, we'll post a thing a link. We'll also definitely post a link to the archive.org, archive of the original site. That's through the Wayback Machine that they have, so you can see how the original site kind of looked, and some of the old images are still there, but it doesn't go deep. In 2007, I believe, I want to call it a sort of comeback, if not really. For Jenny Everywhere, I did try to get some more information going. I don't remember. I do remember. I was working on the Crossover Wars of 2007 with like several other webcomic artists, and I heard about Jenny Everywhere because the main protagonist, the main comic, kind of referenced it and kind of had some similar abilities like Jenny Everywhere. And I researched some more. I thought, man, this is a really cool character. And so once the original site had gone down, I tried to find everything I could, because I needed all this reference material, because I was going to make this supplement comic, which is the Crossing Over Worlds, which I'll admit is really, really bad writing. But I tried. But when I went through, I found all these... Shoot, what was I going to say? Oh yes, I tried to bring her back to try to see if I could get more people to do it, and I noticed that stripfight.org had done a Jenny Everywhere strip in the past. I thought I should try to do that again, so I set that up, and I got another contest over there going for that. And about that time, entirely coincidentally, Jason Frank, as well as along with Scott Wagner, Lawrence Abasso, and Jeff Powell had produced When Casting Calls. It's a full length, designed for print comic, Jenny Everywhere story. That's at jennyandme.com. So that kind of came up time. So that was a great launch comic for by coincidence. I don't know if any of you guys have seen it.
Yeah, I liked it a lot.
Good.
I know, it was just really exciting. And then, of course, we got Jenny Everywhere Chronicles from Benj coming out now. What do you guys feel about this spark of creativity coming back out? Even RM the Mortician helped me with the Crossing Over Worlds with the Nipnapped comic that also came out recently. Is there any thoughts on this, hopefully a comeback? Or?
Well, that's always a positive thing.
Yeah, it's really great, because I mean, it did seem as if the whole thing had kind of ground to a halt, 18 months ago or thereabouts, and it was, I mean, because it was quite exciting a few years ago, particularly with like the Exclaimer article, the New York Times article, and what have you, and it did feel like she was going to run riot. Get taken up by lots and lots of different people and become the big open source phenomenon. But as it is, it's really, really gratifying, I think, just to see other people actually taking things up a few years on down the line and doing stuff. And if that is at whatever kind of scale, that's great. Because it is like, for me, it's like catching up with an old friend, really. Mm-hmm. I'm quite sentimental about Jenny. So it is nice to see new versions of her appearing at last.
I think anything that lasts in pop culture, it's going to have its ups and downs periods. And when it comes back from a really, dry period, it'll keep going, you know? I mean, Superman's done that, you know, Sherlock Holmes did it. You know, they're popular, and then they go away for a little while, and they come back, and they're like, again. And I think Benj's strip is really great. Good start there.
Thank you.
Yeah. Are you an illustrator on that, by the way?
I am. I do it entirely in Illustrator.
Yeah, it's wonderful. I like it a lot.
Thanks.
It is really nice to see a dedicated regular webcomic. Did you have any?
Yeah, you're going to do that Monday, Wednesday, and Friday?
It's Monday, Wednesday, and Friday.
Yep.
That's awesome.
You're still there? Okay, good. My phone died.
Okay. Yeah, we still hear you.
Okay.
And actually, I got to find another one because this one's about to die too. excuse me. I'm hoping to do it 3 days a week. That's the plan, at least. I've got like notebooks beyond notebooks. I mean, again, as I was saying, I mean, I've been reading, you know, all of your guys' stuff for years now, that kind of just generating a whole mythology in my head, and I'm hoping to kind of get some of that out. So that's kind of the goal, at least, for it.
Well, cool. Anybody else that has projects, secret projects, things you're not releasing yet, when you do, you know, I'm going to be all over it and posting it everywhere. Send me the links, whatnot, heads up, and, you know, I'll totally promote you guys, all around. So, one character I've totally fell in love with, and is like, personally for me, always found I've done a lot better, at least in my being able to do something with an existing structure. And I'm sure some other people who wants to get involved in doing something and can see this character that's new, fresh, hip, cool, maybe do a little something with her, and maybe find what they, you know, see people eventually move on to other things. This, I believe, is a great starter character, and as she was created, she is, you know, a public domain, correct? Because if you throw around, you know, open source and all these other words, which almost cut each other. As far as technicality.
Public domain is probably your best bet. I mean, I didn't want to get involved in the whole Creative Commons thing necessarily, and, you know, it's just, I don't know, just even the whole disclaimer, you know, to pass it along to the next person, that's more formality, you know, that they can ignore, you know, because I've seen examples where they don't include that, and, I mean, that's fine.
Yeah. Well, it's probably as long as someone doesn't start making Jenny Everywhere shirts and selling them behind all your guys' backs, right?
Well, actually, I think they can do that.
Yeah, I mean,
really?
you can. The only thing that's like definitely public domain are my sketches. So as long as you base everything on that and not try and rip off somebody else's version, that's fine. Because anybody else creating, like, anytime you create a Jenny Everywhere story, that's actually a derivative work. So Nelson's version is copyright him, unless he chooses to allow somebody to use it for whatever reason. I know a lot of the people who created stories, you know, they were like, that's fine. If somebody wants to rip off of my story, that's fine. But for the most part, you should, you know, draw from the one well, which is like the few sketches in the description that ended up on Jenny Everywhere Dom, and now it's on the Shifter archive, because everything else would be copyright that person's work.
Right, especially the artwork.
Yeah,
right.
It's kind of like how Snow White's in the public domain, but the Disney version of Snow White is not.
Right. And just so everyone knows, the paragraph that basically is kind of like more of like self-advertising, I guess. It goes: the character of Jenny Everywhere is available for use by anyone with only one condition. This paragraph must be included in any publication involving Jenny Everywhere in order that others may use this property as they wish. All rights reversed. I love that last line. Is there anything anybody else would like to say before we close off the show here?
I have a couple of things.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, I love those goggles, by the way. I tried to interject at that point, but you guys were on such a roll that it got to the toast. But I love her look. I mean, I had Yeah, I guess I came in like late enough that there were so many versions of her, by the way, that I didn't know if she was supposed to be overweight, skinny, you know, or it didn't matter. And just as soon as I got Jenny Everywhere in my head, you know, I just kind of like visualized her. And what was ironic is the drawing that I did for Soulless Mate and how I knew her. When I actually went to do the photo comic, which was a goodbye present, a whole bunch of my friends, you know, got together and they said they'd help me out, you know, if I wanted to do this photo before I left Hasbro. And the girl that was willing to be Jenny, she actually had these boots and a scarf that she brought in, and, you know, we made her up to look just, she looked just like Jenny that I drew. And I went to an Army-Navy store and bought, like, old aviator goggles. That was pretty fun to kind of shop around for those. But in my mind, it wouldn't have been Jenny without those goggles on top of her head and the scarf. That was a lot of fun. I don't know. I got to finish that. But I don't know. Yeah, the next thing that I want to do is that Little Jenny Everywhere, or Little, however you say that, when it's L-I-L.
Lil.
You have that, you have that little image that I did of her, and that was something I put up on Comic Space just when I was, like, fooling around with, like, getting new stuff on Comic Space every week when that site was really going. And I just want to do something for kids, you know. And Jenny Everywhere, being, like, that kind of character that can be, you know, anything to anyone, I thought, well, what's kind of missing right now is, like, you know, a kid version of Jenny Everywhere. Make her a young girl, you know. No one really did that unless it was in Death of Jenny Everywhere. and I thought that would be really fun. I want to start that up at some point. But I also wanted to give props to Nelson for, like, some of his drawings. I really like him a lot. Very indie style, and I like the two different styles you have on Damn Fine, Hostile Takeover, and Names Not Down. Those are interesting styles.
Thanks very much.
That's all.
Thanks.
I just want to clarify on the goggle thing. I don't hate the goggles. I hate drawing the goggles.
Oh, yeah.
That's because I'm lazy.
Okay.
So anybody else?
Take pictures of the goggles if you want, and you can just place them in with Photoshop.
There you go.
That sounds like a great idea. As far as, like, Jenny for kids, that I know that we got a few people write in early on saying that they had introduced Jenny to their kids and let them draw them and make their own comics and stuff like that. So that was kind of cool. We never actually saw them, so I don't know. But yeah, like that was something that I always wanted to see. You know, somebody do, like, an all ages Jenny comic, because she's the opposite of, like, grim and gritty. You know, I mean, at the time we were still on the tail end of the grim and gritty comics, so she was kind of a reaction to that.
Right.
And when I taught at school, I taught at the Art Institutes for about a year and a half, and one of my illustrator classes, I brought up Jenny Everywhere as, like, one of the final projects that people could work on, and about three or four people took me up on that and did, like, sketches or, you know, illustrator kind of versions of her. And that was, like, really fun. Unfortunately, I can't find them all. But I think I might have sent, did I send one or two to you, Thaz?
You might have. I'd have to check the art section again.
Okay. I'll try and keep looking for them. But, yeah, it was something that the students got really about. And I know that one of them was talking about doing something with her at some point. That's pretty cool.
Well, that's all the time we have for this show. I do want to thank everybody once again for coming on the show. Going back around the table. Steve, thank you for coming.
My pleasure.
Scott, thank you for coming.
Thank you very much.
Nelson, thanks for being on the show.
No worries. Thank you.
And Benj, thank you for coming as well.
Thanks for having me.
All right, well, that's it for this section of the show. When we come back, we'll finish off with webcomic news and a few other things.
Would you like to get involved with The Beacon? Just send to webcomicbeacon@gmail.com.
thanks to Witchy Bunny of HiddenDisguises.com for being our announcer, and also thanks to Brian Lake for providing music for the webcomic Beacon.
And now, webcomic reviews.
Hello, Mark Savory here with a webcomic review. This week, I want to share with you a webcomic that, well, isn't really a webcomic. Well, it is, but then again, it kinda isn't. I'm talking about a project called Sarah Zero by a Canadian graphic designer who goes by the name of Steph. Steph is a designer, and that's where we need to begin, because Sarah Zero is like nothing else you've ever seen in webcomicry. Instead, it's more like, well, for lack of a better analogy, a high-powered magazine advertising campaign from Madison Avenue. Sarah Zero is about a character of the same name who is the creator of an iPod-like device called the SAR Plus and is the owner of a fantabulous dance club called the Downward Spiral. Sarah is many things beside the club owner. She's a rocker, a modern woman, a gadget builder, a connector of people, a lonely heart, larger than life, displays an almost super-powered cool, and is even to some degree an espionage agent. She's equal parts Barb Wire, Tank Girl, Joan Jett, and Honey West. Yet, for all that, she still searches for a happiness she hasn't found. The comic is hip, stylish, aggressive, and pure design from start to finish. The story is linear, but still somewhat modular. You could start almost anywhere in the archive and get up to speed very quickly. Steph plays off cultural trends like the iPod, the internet, advertising, clubbing, music, and the empty promise of social networking sites. In this world, it's the SAR Plus, the Contranet, the Downward Spiral, and LifeSpace, ScrewTube, and FaceStock. This is a good example of a restart. Steph was unhappy with Sarah's previous incarnation and scrapped it in favor of this new, more stylized PG-13 to R-rated version. This take uses typography, stunning graphic design, and advertising imagery to help relate the story that Steph is trying to tell. And you can tell this story is big. So big, in fact, that you can't see the forest for the trees at this point. After his earlier attempt at Sarah Zero, Steph has come back with a 5-year plan for the comic, and so far, we're only in year one. Navigation is simple, the site, as you would expect, highly designed with a high-powered graphic look. He has a portfolio that's a full-court press of graphic design, definitely something you should look at. The resolution is a bit large, so some folks may have to do the sideways scrolly thing. I understand the creator feels eventually everyone will have the larger screen res. That may still be a few years off at this point, so it's a bit cart before the horse, but honestly, this is one comic where I don't mind a bit of scrolliness, and that's saying something. Even if you don't dig this kind of storytelling, the character design, or even the comic itself, at least look at what he's trying to do. The difference between this and your typical long-form webcomic is the difference between a film by Stanley Kubrick and some crap flick directed by Michael Bay. There's a bigger picture here, a plan, a sense of direction and design. Steph has thought about it, and he's thought about it ahead of time. From page one, Steph declares, quote, he's going to rock your world without elves, fairies, or wizards, without pirates, zombies, or aliens, without monkeys, penguins, or dinosaurs, without sad girls, cat girls, or robot girls. And so far, Steph has delivered. If you can't learn something from this one, then you must be embalmed. As far as I can tell, Sarah Zero is absolutely unique, so do check it out at sarahzero.com. That's SARAHZERO.com. I'm Mark Savory, and until we meet again, take care.
You can find more from Mark Savory at autumnlake.com.
Let's hear some webcomic impressions.
Greetings and salutations, my name is Peter Tarkalich, and I'm giving a shout at the Webcomic Impressions segment. Special thanks to Fess and Tanya for letting me try. The Sealed Gate by, and I'm hoping I'm pronouncing her name right, Linnea Zimmerman, is a four-panel fantasy comic that updates once a week on Tuesdays. The synopsis on her info page tells the story better than I could. Crystal's not sure how it happened, but she got transported to a magical world and now has no way back. No outlets, no malls, and running dangerously low on makeup. Could things get any worse? At least she got out of math class. The story is fun and original and has recently been showing a bit of action. Linnea's art style is fairly polished with smooth line art and great color choices. However, her artwork would look so much better with some shading to give it a more 3D look. The website is a simple enough yet attractive design and has some cute button graphics for the different pages. The one thing it is sorely missing, though, is an archive page. The only way to navigate to an earlier strip is by the navigation buttons, which is a bit frustrating. Overall, The Sealed Gate has potential to be a really fun ride, but might lose potential readers due to the once-a-week update. That schedule works for a full-page comic, but not so much with strip-style comics. Still, once the characters are a bit more fleshed out and the story gets a little deeper in, it may be hard for anyone to stay away from it. You can find The Sealed Gate at thesealedgate.comicgenesis.com. That's it for now. Back to you, Fess and Tanya.
You can find more from Peter Tarkalik at bardsworth.com. Yeah.
You've missed some good things, man.
I have, so now I record almost everything. And so right now, okay, we're back, and we're going to finish off the last third of the show here. I do want to give another round of thanks to everyone that came onto the show. Steven, Nelson, Scott, Benj, thanks for coming. Look for the show notes. Look for links to their projects and websites if they have one given to us. We also have, if anyone's noticed, we're starting to broadcast our shows live on Sunday or Tuesday, depending on when we start recording. The MP3 obviously still comes out on Fridays, but if people want to get a chance to listen ahead and type up a message and see if we'll answer it or approach it. We especially want to keep doing this for the open forum ones so we can get you people on the show, because we only have, like one person to actually call in, and now he's a co-host. So right now in the chat room, the Talk Shoe live broadcasting, we have the Mortician, who had done the Nipped Napped Jenny Everywhere comic that I've talked about, I mentioned on the show, as well as he has several other works that he's done. His current one is Project Atom, and we'll get a link for that in the show. Another person in the chat room is Bear and Kitten. I don't know if it's Bear or Kitten, but they have a really crazy comic. I don't know what it's called, but the name of it's Bear and Kitten, but I don't know what the URL is. We'll get a link for them in the show as well. There's a couple other people here. They haven't really said much, and somebody asks, when do we get paid? Well, you don't get paid. this is a privilege. So, all right, cool. So we got that going for us. Milestones this week. We have at least one milestone this week. Aaron, I think you're the one who told me about it. You want to see it?
Yeah, Pokerex hit his 1 year just a couple days ago, and his website is, pulling up real quick, is www.freewebs.com/Poherex, which is Poherex, and then / thecomics.htm, and we'll get it in the show notes. It's the best dinosaur comic on the internet. That's what I call it, anyway. For a long time, he was doing whole entire issues at once, but he just started doing them one at a time, finally. One page at a time. So, check it out.
Well, that's hopefully how things work in webcomics, one page at a time. Otherwise, I think you'd never get done.
Well, he would be offline for months, and then all of a sudden, a whole entire issue. And it was like, okay, sweet. And he finally got tired of trying to regenerate his whole fan base for every single issue. And actually, yeah, so it's pretty sweet. He just did a fan... little fan art for me just a couple days ago. go to, which is really cool. So it's all colored pencil stuff. It's really wild. So, I like it.
Baron Kitten are talking to me in the chat thing. Apparently they want me to drop some swears. I actually have dropped a couple of swears in this show before. It was like one of episode 5 or something like that. We all thought that Tanya was going to be the first. one to drop the swears, and I ended up dropping "fuck" and "shit" in the same sentence right next to each other. And of course, I'm going to be censoring this because I censor these words on the final show. But this is a live show, so anything goes.
Ooh.
So there. I think
plug your
now.
Ears. Plug your ears, children. Fess is swearing now. Baron Kitten, what you need to do is you got to call in when it's me and Tanya on the breaks. We'll just start going freaking off about I don't even know. And then before you know it,
it may end up being the secret little clip at the end of the show.
Yeah, so you always got to be careful what you say. So,
yeah. Next week we are going to be having another brainstorm session, which last time we had a lot of advancement on the characters, so that one should be an interesting show. The week after that is going to be the open forum, which may be on April 29th or 27th. I think we're going to be doing it on Sundays. If we can to get more people involved, hopefully maybe people can't get on late nights in -6 GMT time during the week. So we'll try that. It's going to be on black and white versus grayscale versus color comics. And
yes.
We really want to get some people involved in this and see what people have to say. We'll go over some of our favorites and also as well as which one reigns supreme, if any.
Yeah, we should start like generating trash talk just to like get the numbers way up, because you know that's what's going to bring in the people on this one.
Oh well, we'll see. We'll see what we can do. We don't want to like crash everything and I have terrible quality. Instructions for how to get involved online will be posted on the site at webcomicbeacon.com. I do want to mention stripfight.org once again. I forgot to mention it last week. Okay, it's Sunday today, so we're recording really early. Around 1:52, The Root of All Evil is currently being voted on. The next theme that people will are going to have a few days, because we release on Friday and everything is due on Monday for these people, is a dish best served cold.
Ooh.
Oh, wait. Oh, you know what? That's wrong. That one is going to be voted on next. See, we're recording way too early.
Dope.
I can't keep track of anything. We'll get to stripfight.org. Vote on your favorite strips. There's been some really good strips, and I really got to press myself to get involved. If we can get more listeners involved, I will for sure get involved to my best of my abilities. I say do more than one panel for sure, because more than one panel defines it as a strip. So, me as I'm a semantics nut, I think that is all for this week for the Webcomic Beacon. Join us next week for episode 21. I am terrible at goodbyes, buddy. Okay, once again, this has been Fess at fessworks.com, and with me, Aaron.
Hello, and goodbye.
At tbullcomic.com. Thanks for being on this.
Bye.
That's all for the Beacon. Be sure to tune in next week.
Probably a good recap about how many people have had their hands in Jenny. That sounds wrong.
Joe, rephrase that.
Yeah.